Good morning, Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger. Very excited to be here with you this morning, Wednesday, September 18th. For those of you that are just waking up out there, it has been a little bit cooler the last 24 hours. I don't know about you, but I have enjoyed my drive to work this morning with the windows down for the first time in about 100 days over there, and saw a few other crazies out there with their windows down too. So looking at you guys out there, Tucson, hope you are enjoying that slightly cooler weather as summer begins to loosen its fiery grip over the old Pueblo. Lots going on in Tucson this week. Taking a look at the news, this week happens to be Constitution Week. Yesterday, September 17th, celebrates the 237th anniversary of the signing of the U.S. Constitution. Now, I thought about that one quite a bit as I reviewed our Constitution this week in preparation not just for the show, but just to stay on top of what our country is all about. I took my wife this week to go see the Reagan movie over at the Roadhouse Cinemas, which, by the way, is an absolutely fantastic venue to go see a movie. For those of you that don't go see movies regularly anymore, Roadhouse and these new dinner theater options are fantastic entertainment option where you've got big reclining chairs, there's servers, there's adult beverages, like hard to beat. And we got an opportunity to see that Reagan movie this week on Constitution Week. And I actually thought a lot about this one. It gave me great pause and reminded me of November of 1984, where I was sitting outside of Cook Elementary School, where I had been campaigning for Reagan Bush in our school elections, right? I was 8 years old at that particular time, for those who are doing math. And I remember a little girl crying on the school steps the day after the election, the fact that Mondale Ferraro had lost that particular race. And she said, "Grant, we're going to die. We are literally all going to die because of this." The severity in her voice rings with me to this day, 40 years later. And the truth is, no matter how divided we were at that particular time, we actually weren't going to die. We actually kind of came out ahead. For those that are taking score, we went on to win the Cold War, dominate in the U.S. Olympics over those years, and essentially become the only remaining superpower in the world for a number of decades, thanks to Ronald Reagan. And I think we could all learn a lot from President Reagan in ways that says that even if we disagree, we don't have to be disagreeable. And that really resonates with me. And I hope that resonates with you this morning as well, too, as you are commuting. And I appreciate you taking part of your day to join us on Jump in Tucson. When I think of Reagan and the conservative ideas that he brought, I think of how we essentially have so much government overreach in our lives, not just with the sales tax that we've been talking about that looks like it's coming on March 12th with the city of Tucson, but even on a federal level, reviewing all 27 amendments recently to the Constitution, and unfortunately bemoaning only really number 18, which was prohibition. And of course, those of you that are in the restaurant business like me know that was not only repealed with the 21st Amendment, but the lack of alcohol in restaurants can be a tremendous setback to our finances. Looking at that, I wonder how much more government overreach we can have. On the news this week, I saw that in Ithaca, New York, the National Labor Relations Board is actually forcing two Starbucks locations, which closed in May of 2023, to reopen. Accused of union busting, this judge went out and actually forced these Starbucks stores to go back into business. And I think to myself, how is this possible in 2024 that the government could actually force stores to operate, perhaps operate even in a non-profitable manner? If these stores chose, for whatever reason, based on market conditions, to close, it should be their right in the free market economy to close up shop, union or not. How is this going to play out in 2024? Are they going to open for 2 or 3 weeks and then suggest that these unionized conditions have increased their labor costs, they lost money, and then close again? How How can our government force us into the coffee business? You know, a very good question out there for you listeners, and something that I think all of us in the restaurant industry are really, really going to keep our eyes on. But as we talk local restaurants here in Tucson, there's a few happenings coming up just this week. Earlier you heard on Chris DeSimone's Wake Up Tucson, Chef CJ Ham is opening up Ham Bones Meat and Three on South Craycroft, just north of the base on Monday. CJ Ham's a well-known Tucson restaurateur, and I do suggest you get a chance to go out there and visit what should be an amazing concept from a great chef opening up in just a few days. Unfortunately, news has come across that the Copper Mine Brewing Company is going to close as well, too. Another brewery that happens to be suffering a closure, which is quite unfortunate, as the brewery business seems to be just an incredibly challenging one, as we see the retraction of both some fire truck brewing company locations, and now we're seeing yet another brewery looking at potentially closing up shop. On a lighter note, the Buffet Bar celebrates its 90th anniversary this week. For those of you who haven't had the opportunity to enjoy the benefits of the Buffet on 9th Street, a very famous Tucson watering hole, it happens to be Tucson's longest standing liquor license in one contiguous location. My understanding is that the Mint on Grant Road is actually Tucson's oldest liquor license, but having moved locations, the title of longest standing liquor license and one contiguous location goes to the Buffet. They're celebrating their 90th anniversary out this year. Go swing by the Buffet for a jumbo of Coors or perhaps Happy Minute from 6 to 6:01, where there tends to be a free adult libation of your choice if you happen to be there drinking one. When we come back, however, after the break, we're going to talk not coffee as we have been, but something even a little closer to our American history, and that's tea. We're not going to be talking about the Boston Tea Party in 1773 or even the Philadelphia Tea Party. We're having our own tea party over here in Tucson. We are going to have Shane Barella, owner of the Scented Leaf Tea House, coming up. He's opened up his third store just next to us on Tanga Verde, next to the Maverick. We're going to have a fascinating conversation about opening up your own stores, franchising, how tea comes into play to compete against coffee chains when we come back after the break. Shane Barella from the Scented Leaf Tea House. You're listening to Grant Kruger on Jump in Tucson, 1030 AM The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back, Tucson, Arizona, to Jump in Tucson with your host, Grant Kruger. A little Genesis over there, land of confusion, as we are in the land of confusion here in the 520. But what we're not confused about is a little local tea party we've been seeing grow in southern Arizona over here. That's the Scented Leaf Tea House, and I am joined live by owner Shane Barella.
Hey, Grant, thanks for having me. This is great.
Hey, thanks for coming to Jump in Tucson over here. Jumping right in, how did you get your start in the restaurant business?
It was definitely different than most people getting into business. Wasn't exactly planning tea. I graduated the University of Arizona back when I was in my mid-20s. Took a little extra time to enjoy my college time. And after that, I was like, do I work for a corporate company? Or do I work for someone big? Everyone was getting jobs at Philip Morris and things like that. And I just had never felt like I should have done that. So I said, all right, I'm just going to take a break and do my own thing. So I basically got into some stuff that basically didn't really pan out, but it was a good stepping stone. I got into insurance right after college and was trying to be part of the real estate boom. My brother was a loan officer. I had a lot of friends who were realtors. And they were like, hey, this is perfect for you. You should get right into the insurance. And we'll feed you business and it'll be great. Well, never liked insurance in general, just dealing with it myself. And then I was like, all right, I'm in it, but why am I in it? It lasted around a year before I said, okay, this is not for me. It's just not my style. It just felt like I was too young to sell life insurance to people, and it just wasn't really vibing. So after a year, I said, all right, I'm going to do my own thing. And I started looking at different options, got into real estate, kind of investing and doing that. And I always had restaurants in my background, so I was doing that on the side. And I said, you know what, I think I'm going to do something completely different. I did real estate for a while. I did well, but I said, I need to get into something that's more my own. And I started looking at options for selling food at different places. And I was going to do food at High Corbett and maybe sell gelato, because I went to Europe when I was a little younger and I felt like it was an awesome thing. but I couldn't get in and I wasn't able to really penetrate that market. And then all of a sudden I came across someone who I bought a truck from and I said, hey, I'm just throwing around ideas. You know, what do you think about like me selling food at different places? And he's like, you know, I work at the Swami. And I was like, you work at the Swami? He's like, yeah, I have a business there. And I said, well, that's interesting. I was like, do you think I could sell food at the Swami? And he's like, well, I don't know if they let you. They're going to take a good percentage of your money, so maybe not the best. But I do have a guy who has a perfume business he wants to sell. And I was like, this is really random. So I started basically looking at this guy's books and from afar kind of spying on this guy. And it wasn't tea at all, right? So we started basically looking at this business. All of a sudden, a month later, I buy it. Me and my girlfriend, now wife, we took it over and we were there for 5 years. That was a really interesting part of my life. I actually really was very happy about that time, even though it was really rough and tough and out there in the crazy weather and just dealing with all sorts of people, which I found very fascinating and fun. And we became a really good place. But the market started changing. I started noticing I wasn't getting the business like I used to. People from Mexico were not coming up. A lot of politics changed and things were just kind of getting to the point where Tucson was getting boycotted and I was starting to run out of money. And I came across... I was just basically thinking I have to do something else. So I started thinking about what else could I start selling. And during a trip that we had to Spain, we basically were on like a early honeymoon. We were pretty much dead broke and we came across a little shop that was selling loose leaf tea and knickknacks and just souvenirs. And it was off the beaten path. And it was just, you know, mind boggling that I came across tea for the first time. And all of a sudden the light bulb went off and it started my career with bringing tea back into the United States and selling loose leaf tea. And there's a lot of interest, you know, interesting things that happened along the way that we could talk about possibly on this podcast and go into that. But yeah, it's been a whirlwind to start off with something I never thought I would ever get into.
So talking about loose leaf tea over here with Shane Barella, owner of Scented Leaf Tea House, like define loose leaf tea compared to the bag tea that I think most American consumers are used to when we think of tea products to this day.
Yeah, so that's kind of the thing that shocked me. So when I saw that little shop in Granada, Spain, it was loose leaf tea. It was stuff you can actually see. And when I looked at it, I thought it was like spices and herbs. And, you know, the person who ran the shop comes out and he's like, can I help you? And I said, yeah, I'm trying to figure out what this is. You sell spices and ingredients? He's like, what do you mean? This is tea. This is loose leaf tea. And I was like, this is tea? And he's like, yeah, the whole world drinks loose leaf tea, except the United States, or you guys have tea bags. And that's basically like the powdered version of loose leaf tea. And I just was blown away that this whole time I've been drinking tea and enjoying it. And I never even realized that it was basically, you know, not the best version, I would say. Powdered version, not getting all the good things that you want in tea. And all of a sudden I was like, there is something there that I have not experienced in the United States, in particular where I was in Tucson. And I said, this is something that's awesome. And it's way flavorful, way more healthy, has a lot more benefits, all the good things that you want with tea. It was in the loose leaf form. So it's basically a difference between, you know, when they get into commercialization and they want the biggest profit possible for these big companies, they basically get that stuff down to a powder form and they throw it into a tea bag and, you know, usually it's bleached and things like that. So loosely, if you allow yourself to control how much you want of the tea, you can have a little bit, you can have a lot, you can have more caffeine, less caffeine, you could change it up, you can mix and match. And it just was a beautiful thing to kind of explore and learn that the whole world's been drinking tea for all these many years, and it was just something that I wanted to bring to people here in Tucson.
So how does tea consumption compare to coffee consumption? I always think of us as sort of a country built around coffee these days, and on Jump in Tucson, we talk a lot of restaurants, we talk a lot of coffee shops. I've never had the opportunity yet to talk to somebody with a tea shop. Are you bringing a knife to a gunfight with tea, or is this a growth category?
So it's definitely a growth category around the country, and the thing that's funny about so this is an interesting fact. So you basically have, I always ask this question, what's the most consumed beverage in the world? And what would you say, Graham? What's the most consumed beverage in the world?
Well, I would start with water.
There you go, number one. What would you say number two is?
I'm guessing you're going to tell me it's tea up front. If you saw my house, it'd be coffee, but is it tea, really?
It's tea. So then number three, what would you guess number three?
Unfortunately, it's probably something like Coca-Cola.
Milk. And then you have coffee. So in other parts of the world, you have people who are drinking a lot more tea than coffee. So you go to India and it's 99% tea versus 1% coffee. Whereas United States, it's 80% coffee, 20% tea. However, when you look at the specifics and you flip it and you say, okay, what about iced tea versus iced coffee, and now you have 80% of people prefer iced tea versus iced coffee, ironically. So hot beverages, people think coffee. We are basically a coffee nation, and we've been doing that since, you know, World War One and Two. But it's been declining for all these decades. If you look at the stats, it's been going down. Even though Starbucks, you know, made a big boom in the world, coffee consumption is still going down in a lot of parts of the world. So tea is an easier thing on the stomach. It's an easier thing on the mind. Gets you through the day faster and easier. You don't have to feel like the rush from caffeine that sometimes is a little too much for people. And, you know, you don't have the stomach issue. So there's a lot of benefits that I think tea adds. And I think that it's definitely a growing market. I mean, you can see all these big companies now trying to do tea. And you see now even places doing boba tea. I think I saw the other day Jack in the Box has boba tea, which is bizarre. So they're all trying to jump in that game because they see it's a growth market. But we kind of stay traditional and bring in some just really awesome flavors and don't try to complicate things and don't try to get into anything that's not us. I'm not someone that has a lot of culture in tea. I didn't grow up with that in my world, so I wanted to keep it young and fresh and modern and let people just enjoy it regardless of their opinion on tea. I want them to try it first and then see where they go with it, because people are surprised when they actually have a good tea.
So I've noticed the trend over the last few years that big chains like a Starbucks are essentially becoming cold beverage companies. We think of them, of course, as a coffee shop, but these days it's customized cold beverages that actually carry the load for sales on a Starbucks. What's your ratio between hot and cold drinks at the Scented Leaf?
Yeah, very similar. So, you know, luckily we live in a very ideal climate for iced products, iced tea in particular for us. So I would say probably 85% of our sales is going to be iced tea. And then, yeah, when it gets a little colder, if it gets cold, then we'll start getting some people who start switching over to hot tea. But even in the cold months, we have people drinking iced tea. And it's a great thing. I mean, it's just, I don't know what it's like in really cold climates, what that, you know, what that changes. But for us, it definitely continues throughout the year. And I can get it. I mean, it's just something that people are really, it's easy to take on. Versus something that's hot, that's a little more cautious, and you got to be a little bit more mindful of it and takes time and takes forever to cool down. So I think there's a lot of aspects that people like about iced and just fun.
So is your iced tea product then loose leaf as well too, or is this bagged? And is bagged, a second question, is bagged essentially just the hot dog of teas where it's just all the parts and byproducts chopped up and pulverized into this fine dust?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically called tea fannings or tea dust. So basically it's the stuff that's bottom of the barrel. And I'm sure there's plenty of companies out there who are big that are trying to, you know, say, no, we don't use that part. We don't use the dust. But if you look at a typical store-bought tea, you're going to notice that if you cut that tea bag open and you dump out the contents, A, it's going to be a very small amount, and B, it's going to be mostly powder. But yeah, no, everything we have is going to be from loose leaf tea. So we don't mess with any teas that are already prepackaged into bags. We buy bulk. You know, our blenders make loose leaf tea and they have recipes and they make their thing, and we work together to kind of come up with the right flavors that we want that fit our demographics, and then we turn it into some delicious drinks.
So now I've noticed a trend too that places like the Scented Leaf actually have a pretty sizable dining room, right? You've got area for people to sit down and relax and communicate and enjoy those products, often kind of described as this third space, right? A unique place outside of your work and home where people can gather and socialize. How are you differentiating Scented Leaf from so many of these drive-through only concepts right now?
So I'm all about the community. Our place is, we're a community tea company. So we're all about people coming in and hanging out. And I think it's amazing that we're moving in a situation where people are doing all drive-throughs, like big companies. I think it's a big mistake. I think what we do is we're banking on people, and we want people to come in and know that there's a place that's safe for them, that's healthy, and it's a good place for them to hang out. And it's almost like another place for them to be, just like a third place. So I feel like we're taking over that spot here in Tucson, and that's what we kind of focus on and we spend the money on to make sure that we have those spaces for people. We're going to continue to have those types of places for people.
That's fantastic. As we look at the city of Tucson having struggles with, say, the hookah lounges recently and some of the associated violence and some of those third places, to have other peaceful options that can exist outside of these big chains is something that is very desirable, I think, for our community, not just from a business perspective, but just society as a whole as well. When we come back after the break, we're going to break down with Shane his three locations. He's got a spot on University Boulevard. He's got a spot downtown right on Congress. And they've just opened up a new spot on Tanga Verde on the east side that's absolutely killing it. And so we're going to break down some of those differences between what it's like to operate on University, what it's like to operate downtown, and what it's like to be on the east side. Don't go anywhere. Another segment coming up with Shane Barella from the Scented Leaf Tea House after the break. You're listening to 1030 AM, The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger. Very excited to be here with you this September morning. Thank you for making us part of your day. So coming up on Jump in Tucson this week, tomorrow we've got Tom Moulton from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. He's bringing in Scott Darledge, the owner, founder, and tour guide of the Strolls and Stories Tour. We've got Dr. Ed Ackerley on Friday. I believe he's got Robbie Robbins coming in, now former president of the University of Arizona. On Tuesdays, of course, we've got the Engagement Hour with Ted Maxwell from the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. And of course, this morning we've got a couple more segments with the Scented Tea House owner, Scented Leaf Tea House owner, Shane Barella. Welcome back, Shane.
Thank you very much, Grant.
Hey, so we were talking your locations. You've got three locations of Scented Leaf, but your first one was on University Boulevard.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, we had Rich Pfeiffer in from Gentle Bends, who was talking about some of those challenges on University. Can you tell us about your opening down there and how that went?
So when we opened up, we were down the street at University in Euclid, and we were going back to talking about my previous business, a perfume store. We actually opened up a little perfume store down there, and we were on University of Euclid in the smallest little space they even offer. And we struggled, definitely struggled. We were down there next to Starbucks, and there was a few bars back down there. And we just basically, we couldn't get any exposure. We couldn't get any help. We just couldn't sell the product. And it just wasn't the right product, I found out later on. But it's okay. It allowed us to move into the space that we ended up in, which was right close to the entrance to the University of Arizona and right there on University and Park. So when we first opened up in 2012 at that location, it was definitely, it was small. And it was basically a place that people were like, oh, I hope he makes it, but most likely he's not going to. Like, tea, no one drinks tea, and you know, good for him. And it just felt like a lot of pity. And we basically, for the first year, we really didn't have much going on. We had people come in, we could talk for a long period of times, and all of a sudden, you know, we were like, all right, we got to change this up. And that's when we came across the ability for us to kind of change our game and speed up our game, because we were dealing with Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts, and they had their fast coffees and all that stuff. So when we said, all right, we need to revamp this idea of tea, we went away from the traditional, let's take it, you know, 3 to 5 minutes steep time for each tea and every order. And we said, we need to bring this into a faster situation. So we started adding our teas into a tap system that we started, you know, way back in the day. And it was four taps. And we had our main four teas. And there's a whole story to that, but we don't have time for that one. But basically, we had four taps, and people were now going, hey, I'll have tea. And I said, well, this tea is going to take you around 3 to 5 minutes. Do you have that time? They're like, not really. I was like, well, I do have this tea on tap here that you might like. It's, you know, papaya passion, and we have a green tea mango and yerba mate. And, you know, we had four big, big hitters in our mind. And people would go, yeah, I'll just get that one. And all of a sudden they said, oh, that's pretty good. I like that. And they would come back again for that one. And then all of a sudden we were like, we're on something. This is it. So we started doing that. And we all of a sudden had more people coming in. We became a very popular place. We became a very unique place. People really started hanging out with us. We kind of became like the in place for University of Arizona students. And even though our space was tiny, we had a full house and it was packed. And it was amazing after a couple years of being able to get people teas that were quick and ready to go. And we started doctoring them up, making them fun, adding different things to them, mixing and matching. And then all of a sudden we added another tower to our tap. So now we had eight. And then we did that for a few years. And then we added 12. And we did that for a few years. And then we ended up with 18. And that's what our current number is right now. And our experience on University Boulevard has always been really positive. I know restaurants have had some tough times down there. I feel like the reason why we've been able to kind of stay relevant is because we really focus on the student. A lot of restaurants, they have a hard time. They have to challenge themselves with like, okay, we have to make sure the students are coming in because there's so many of them there. And then we also have to take care of the people who are professors and the people who are going to Centennial. So they have a different age group that they're dealing with constantly, and they're trying to make it work. For us, we said college students, college students, college students. So we focus on the environment to be ideal for them, and that's always been kind of our thing. And then along the way, people in different demographics and different ages would start coming in because they saw us being so popular with the students, and it just started growing from there. So now we have all ages, and it's been fantastic. And then we've also been around for, you know, over 13 years. So we've been able to see so many people graduate and come back, and now they're older and they're coming back with their friends and their family. And it's just a really cool thing. So University Boulevard, you have to be really conscious of the people you're dealing with, and you have to really cater to it. And you got to keep yourself really, you know, fully staffed with people who are going to fit those needs that the students have, which is all sorts of things we could talk about.
Shane, I salute you for 13 years in business over there in an industry that's got an 80% failure rate in the first 5 years. To have made it to 13, your chef jersey should already be hung up from the rafters in the Tucson Restaurant Hall of Fame over there. But you haven't stopped there. You opened up a new location downtown a number of years ago. Can you tell us about that and what the difference is between downtown and University?
So, you know, part of it was I just really needed to feel like I can accomplish something else. And I wanted to see if I can do something more than just the university area. So a lot of it was a little bit of being selfish and saying, all right, let's just see if we can make a second location be just as successful. But we knew we're going into a different area, and we knew it was going to be challenging because the parking and just the whole area of downtown is just, it's just different altogether. So, you know, I would like to say it was great and awesome right from the beginning, just like our new location has been, but it was tough. We had to go through a lot of challenges. We didn't have the ability to have a large amount of people in there because it's such a small space. So I made some mistakes about, you know, the size of the space that I really needed. I went a little too small. It's still a great place, and we love it. And it's one of my, I feel like it's one of my children, right? And it's great, and people really come in from all over the place to go there. But there's a lot of challenges downtown with, you know, the homeless and the people on drugs, and then people, you know, causing problems down there, and then the parking, and then just not enough people walking around who are actually, you know, meet people who want to spend money. So we pull people from, you know, the other college environments in that area, the student housing, and that's been great. And then we get a lot of business from people who work in the downtown area. But it is a unique difference. It's older, but not too much older. So we're going to start getting into young professionals versus college. And then we're starting to see just different people who travel through Tucson that we come through, which is great because now they get to buy a different product of ours, which is our loose leaf pouches, which is take home tea, make it on your own, do that kind of thing. So it's allowed us to grow that part. Whereas the college students don't really do that much over the university. They want the drink right there and there. They want it to be delicious, and then they're going to come back the next day. Whereas the college area is not so diverse over there. It's just very limited. You have to really focus on a different way to sell, which is more on the loose leaf side.
So how do you see that restaurant and bar scene working downtown? I hear from a lot of operators here on Jump in Tucson that from a bar world, right, the nightclubs seem to do all right. You go downtown on a Friday or Saturday night and it's popping. There's people bar hopping from place to place to place. But some of the full service restaurants have struggled, and we've seen some pretty big closures on some pretty hefty projects downtown, even from some well-heeled and, you know, very experienced operators. Shane, how do you see that restaurant and bar scene working down there?
I feel like it's feast or famine. I see a lot of my friends who are business owners down there. Some of them have found a niche where they basically can make the money they need to support their business, whether it's selling pizzas after a certain time of the night because the people are coming off of the bar scene and they're able to bring in sales. Or I've seen people have a thing that they have where it's just like Hotel Congress has been there forever, and they have the ability to have people know about them for so many decades. I think the challenge that these restaurants have is that you basically, you're not going to have the ease that you would have at a regular location around Tucson. So I think the challenge has always been for me and for them is that it's just hard for people to plan for that experience and know they have to go into a parking lot or maybe they have to find parking on the street, which is sometimes limited. And I think that deters a lot of people. So I just think it's a challenge for people in Tucson, being a small, big city, to move into a society where they're like, oh, we're just used to going to parking garages. And I think that's a big challenge for these restaurants. If it was easier and they were in a bit different location, they would see much better sales. And I just think they have to kind of fight through those issues, and eventually, you know, they get their group of people that come on a regular basis. But it's challenging. I've seen a lot of places not make it, and I've seen places that I love that I'm like, wow, they just can't pull it off because they can't get people through the door. And it's not their fault. It's just the situation of being in a new downtown, if you will. Even though it's been there for a long time, it's still kind of a new downtown for people to travel to and deal with.
Do you think that there's too many bars and restaurants downtown right now for the amount of customers you have?
I'm not sure about that. I feel like the Tucson restaurant scene is strong. I feel like there's a lot of restaurants in Tucson that just do really well. And I think there's always, you know, when I'm going out my date night, Friday, Saturday, there's a wait over almost every place I call to. So I don't think it's necessarily that. I think it's just, you know, getting people to move into different directions. I think, hey, you went here for a long time, now try a new place. And it's hard to kind of get people to change their habits. And I think it's just one of those things they have to kind of go through. But I don't know. I feel like I would like to see other types of businesses downtown for people to be able to shop. But retail is tough. So what do you do?
Yeah, retail is certainly tough. Rio Nuevo has got a big challenge on their hand to find alternative retail that isn't just food service, right? If we create too many restaurants down there, there just won't be enough to feed everybody. So for Shane's third location, we're going to talk after the break. The Tanga Verde store of Scented Leaf Tea Room very recently opened up just south of the Maverick and the old Tino's Pizza location. We're going to talk about ways that we think we could possibly make Tanga Verde great again, bringing back a little Restaurant Row action over here. Don't go anywhere. One more segment with Shane Barella from the Scented Leaf Tea House when we come back after the break. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. We are doing one more final segment with Shane Barella, owner of the Scented Leaf Tea House. Shane, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
So you just recently opened up a third store on Tanga Verde, just south of the Maverick. Tell us about that. It's kicking over there.
Yeah, we really wanted to have another location away from the university just to have something different. And we were looking at a lease, and we couldn't find one that made sense. And we actually almost got one, but it fell through, and thank God it did. It made me start thinking I need a purchase because the rents were getting so out of control around Tucson that I said, all right, I might as well, if I'm able to buy a building and basically lease it to myself, then that's going to be the way to go. So right after I got denied with the lease that I wanted near this area, near on Tanka Verde, it was on Grant, this spot, it just showed itself to me. And I just said, oh my God, it was Tino's Pizza building. And I said, I love this. I grew up in Tucson, and I couldn't believe it. And I said, this is, I think, a great location for us. And we jumped on it, and it was quite a journey to get through the parking variance. It's not a very big parking lot, but we were able to use the public street right there to help out with everything, and got through the city, got through everything. And it was just definitely took some years off my life. But at the end of the day, a year later, we were able to close on it and then start the construction and able to create something really special.
No, it's amazing to see some growth there on Tanga Verde. When you and I were in college at right around the same time, yeah. Not dating ourselves over here, but Tanga Verde was Restaurant Row, right? You had the City Grills and the Metro Grills, the Bobby McGee's, all these amazing happening places. Sakura was just a fantastic upscale sports bar at the time in the spring training era.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think we can do to help bring a little more life back to that side of town?
I think bringing some color, right? So we had a mural that was done by Joe Padgett, and he did such a great job. And I just feel like bringing in some change and some color and some art and some things that basically catch people's attention, kind of sprucing up the place, if you will, is going to really help us out. Just taking that next level of, I want to make this place special for people to come to, and going back to the idea of a third place. I mean, you really start thinking about, how can I make this more comfortable for my customers? How can I make this more desirable? And when you focus on that, you can create some really awesome things. And I think Tanka Verde, and for that matter, the rest of Tucson and East Tucson in particular, can really benefit if they just focus on that. Maybe spend a little more money if you're able to. Maybe do a little bit more things that you can think of that makes it a better place for people.
So this new location now has got a beer and wine license as well too, I understand, Shane.
Yeah.
You've got some adult beverages over there. Let's talk about that.
So yeah, we just wanted to be able to have a place. We always kind of told ourselves in the very beginning, we're a drink house more than a tea house. So we have the teas, we have the herbal teas, we have coffee. we don't do like espresso, things like that, but we have just beverages, and we wanted the same thing, beer, wine, added to that idea of a drink house. So it was a place that we wanted to have where people can come in, whether you wanted a beer or tea, you have a friend, you have a date, and be able to create a safe place once again for people to not feel like they have to go someplace that maybe out of their comfort zone, like maybe a bar, and feel a little uncomfortable with drinking. Maybe they have some issues with drinking. They can go with someone who can still have a beer and they don't have to. So vice versa. And it was just a good thing that I felt it was really good for that area.
And I understand you've got another potential location coming up in the works over here on the Sunshine Mile on Broadway. Is that true?
Yeah, that's totally true. We haven't really advertised it yet, but I know the newspaper's already kind of put out some of the tenants in the space. So we're going to be in the Soul Block there on Broadway between Tucson and Country Club. And it's going to be all 14 tenants that are all local. People have been in the business for at least 5-10 years, which is very exciting. So we have some people like Rocco's Pizza going in there, and we have all sorts of things. There's going to be some great things going on. There's retail in there that's going to be unique and different. There's like a, you know, a place that people can shop. There's a place that people can get coffee, tea. There's a Pilates. There's a beer garden. There's all sorts of fun things in there. So we're really excited. We're going to be opening up that in December, January. So pretty soon here, and try to make it another special place.
So how do you compete against these big chains with like the apps and the online ordering and whatnot and that customization? Like what tools is Scented Leaf bringing to the game from an online perspective?
So We're a little different on this. I know a lot of places like the kiosk where you order at the front. I know a lot of places are like, hey, order at the app, and then we just walk in and get it. And we just recently spent some money on getting an app for us. And that is something that we're going to let some of our people know about that would like this. But we don't want to go down this path of making it so that we are disconnected between our customers. We really want them to have a conversation with us. We really want them to not order at a kiosk and just wait for their drink. We want them to walk in and say, I have no idea what's going on. And for us to guide them through this process of what we do, show them their options, give them some teas that they didn't think they're going to like, and then make them into, you know, a friend, right? We've moved away from that in society where people are now doing drive-throughs and they do all this stuff where it's making it so easy to order, but the human element's gone. And we wanted to bring that back. So a lot of people keep telling me, oh, add this kiosk, make it like this. And I keep telling them, no, this is not our style. We have better experiences when we have relationships with our customers and we know who they are. We can, you know, have a conversation back and forth. So we hire that way. We continue to do our systems that way. We continue to kind of focus our future on that way. And that's what we're banking on.
So just a couple minutes left here, Shane. Where can our listeners find your website and social media handles and whatnot?
Yeah. Thescentedleaf.com is going to be the website that's going to have everything. It'll have the location information, has photos of all the different locations so you can take a look. There's reviews in there. And then it obviously has our loose leaf tea. So thescentedleaf.com is great. You can also find us on Instagram at just Scented Leaf. We have a lot of fun stuff that we do on Scented Leaf Instagram. And we do some new TikToks and we're starting to make some fun things happen there. So I would say go to one of those three and you can kind of tap into us and see what we're all about.
That's amazing. For your listeners out there, again, this is Shane Barella, owner of the Scented Leaf Tea House over here. Just opened up his third location. Got a fourth location on the horizon coming up in the Soul Block on Broadway on the north side of the Sunshine Mile down there. Pretty amazing stuff to see your growth with tea over here. I had no idea that this was the number two beverage in the entire world.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. People don't realize that. It's pretty amazing.
Tea is, of course, an important part of our history here in the United States as we talk Constitution Week as well, too, right? Tea was the genesis of our civil discourse over taxation without representation. I talk a lot about the taxation that the city of Tucson is looking to usurp upon all of its citizens in a March election. Notice that these elections are going to be happening outside of the normal cadence of elections, right? Kind of makes you wonder why they wouldn't wait for a regular election and save some money as opposed to trying to slip this one just past the goalie without all of our constituents noticing that this happens. And so as we close up today, like I'd like to read a little line from our Declaration of Independence that says, but when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their their right. It is their duty to throw off such government and provide new guards for their future security. Think about that. I'm looking at you, Tanga Verde and Vail Incorporations, perhaps City of Tucson or City of Foothills City over there as well, too. It's been a fantastic morning with Shane Barella from the Scented Leaf Tea House. Don't go anywhere. We've got Dennis Prager coming up after the break. Thank you for spending part of your morning with us over here on Jump in Tucson, 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk.